Yes, indeed. We are going to receive 132,000 doses as a first shot of doses that are coming to country as a part of the, of course, as you know, we as a country, the COVAX and Gavi has donated to South Sudan 2.4 million doses. But these doses has to come in phases. Phase one will have 20%. 3% of the 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And this is we will be getting them in. So this is the beginning of those 3% that we are getting, and this 132 that will come tomorrow.
So what kind of vaccine are we having this time tomorrow?
The vaccines that are coming to country, of course, this is AstraZeneca vaccine that are coming to country, and it's the same vaccine that also some of the neighboring countries are also already using. Uganda is now doing, Kenya has started, and a number of them in Africa already started using these vaccines ahead of us.
Okay, we shall be coming back to you later on. Dr. Amos from WHO, let's pick out from there. AstraZeneca coming to the country tomorrow. How safe are they according to the standard of WHO globally? Though we know that there has been a lot of countries suspending AstraZeneca here and there, there has been a lot of issues surrounding that vaccine. Is it safe?
Thank you so much. And to the listeners, I just wanted to say that the vaccine is safe. Of course, there are concerns here and there. People are listening to media, you know, different kinds of media. But according to us and according to the Africa CDC, it's safe for us. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Samuel, what is the role of UNICEF in this COVID-19 vaccine arriving in the country tomorrow?
Thank you, Sunny Martin, and the listeners. UNICEF is responsible coordinating the delivery of vaccines from the manufacturer to the country here, and it is coordinating with the Gavi. So UNICEF will be responsible for receiving in on behalf of the government of South Sudan, and also monitoring the safety of the vaccine, the cold chain system, from the time of arrival to the time of distribution until it reaches the beneficiaries. UNICEF will be coordinating with the partners to ensure that the quality of the vaccine is ensured.
Okay, let's go ahead, please.
Yeah, and also UNICEF is playing key role in risk communication, social mobilization, community awareness, and community engagement to alert them on the importance of the and the benefits of the vaccines, and to nullify some rumors. UNICEF is also playing great roles. UNICEF has provided enough information on the COVID itself, and we'll be also providing a lot of information through partners in the media, so that people are aware of the arrival of the vaccine and how it can be used and how safe it is.
Yes, let us talk about storage facilities. Do we have enough storage facilities in Juba and across the country? Because I am sure when they arrive tomorrow at Juba International Airport, some of them are to be taken to the countryside. We know logistic wise it's going to be a huge nightmare, especially if the government is handling them.
The good news is that the vaccine AstraZeneca we are receiving can be kept at temperatures of +2 degrees Celsius to +8 degrees Celsius,
mm-hmm.
and this is the type of fridges we have available in the country. We have solar system fridges and generator powered system fridges, and their temperature range is, as I've told you before, so we have enough at the national vaccine store. We have adequate space, and also at the state levels and county levels, at the facility levels, we have cold chain equipment that can be used for keeping the COVID vaccines.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Richard, once this vaccine arrives tomorrow, first of all, when do we see the first group receiving, and who are the target group in the first phase?
Of course, we had worked with the partners, including UNICEF, WHO, and others, in preparation for the reception. There will be reception of these vaccines tomorrow at the airport in the morning, and there will be small ceremony of reception where the minister and some representative from the partners will be there to ensure that we also do like what the other countries. So when we receive these vaccines, of course, as you said rightly, it will be taken to our cold chain. But these vaccines, as I've said, we are getting this 132,000 as a first tranche of the doses that are supposed to come.
Is this a donation or the government is buying?
Yes, these vaccines are donation from Gavi and COVAX facility. They promised to donate to 96 countries, and they are giving 20% of the population of each of these countries. That's why some of these countries are already getting. Mm. So our case, we are 12 million population, so that's why we are have indicative doses that are mentioned to us to be proposed to be 2.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
This 2.4 million will have...
That it represent 20%?
20% of the population. This 3% of this 20%, which about... they first, they told us 864, but now they tell us it will be 732,000 doses. This is the first that will come in the first dose, and this will be targeting the health workers and the mobilizers, the Boomer Health Initiative people, and then we'll have the elderly group, people who are age 65 and above. And then the second group that are supposed to follow will be those who have comorbidity. Comorbidity means those who had underlying condition, like those who have cancer, there are people living with HIV and so forth. So these are comorbidity people that, because they are at risk. There's another group. We have another group of other frontline workers like teachers that also they will be covered, and also will be covering later with these vaccines that are coming. The group of people that will be identified based on the risk analysis that we as a ministry, like the refugees, IDPs, these are all groups that need to be now, and it will be
that will be coming later.
So these are later, but the first group now will go for them are the health workers.
So you are working in the Ministry of Health, and I'm sure you have the data, and also WHO. How many health workers are you targeting in the first phase? How many, the figures?
The data that we are having is 27,000.
27,000.
Across the country. And this is the figure that we have so far. But of course, when we talked about the health workers,
these are both in private and the government. Public.
Yes, we are talking all. Of course, we are sharing health workers. Most of the health workers in private are also government officials. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are targeting all of them.
You find them in the clinic.
Yes, yeah.
So now, what about these elder? What is the target? The target age, from which age to which age?
The elderly, we are talking 65 and above. Mm-hmm. 65 and above. But, you know, when you looked at our population, it's not like the West. South Sudan population, when you looked at the pyramid, population pyramid, the elderly are very small. It's the tip of the triangle up there. But the base, we had the young generation. Like 70% of South Sudan population is actually fall below the age of 30. So the bigger, the number of elderly are very small. But they are at more risk compared to other groups, like what's happening in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are targeting them. And we have estimated that group is about 450,000 or something of that amount.
Across the country?
Yes.
All right. So, and when do we see the really the first person taking the job? When?
Probably Monday.
Monday, next week?
We will do the training in these coming days, from tomorrow, next tomorrow, probably Monday, we'll do. So anyway, anytime on next week, early next week. Yeah.
All right. Dr. Amos, let's talk about the issue of training. In Uganda here, before the vaccine arrived, the government of Uganda went ahead and trained their health workers who are supposed to take on this vaccination process before the arrival of COVID-19 vaccine in Uganda. First of all, I will throw this back to the director later. But first of all, what kind of support would WHO give to the Minister of Health and other partners in order to make sure those people who are going to move around vaccinating these health workers, they should get the right thing, not to mess up with the whole process?
Thank you so much. To do the training, The training is being conducted by multiple partners. We have WHO, we have HPF, we have UNICEF, and then JSI. So WHO is doing a it supports coordination with the MOH so that these things are done in a phased manner. So we're supporting in the training to make sure that these people are trained, because these are already health workers who have been doing this job.
Yeah.
So it's just to give them a little more knowledge.
So that's what I was about to ask. Is there a difference between injecting somebody with a needle on the right arm or whatever and this COVID-19 vaccine? Is there any difference?
There is no absolute difference. So this is a new vaccine, so it's just to give them more awareness so that they carry on the job perfectly.
Yes, Dr. Samuel, UNICEF is so much well-versed on disease of polio vaccination and all this. From your experience, what is required right now for this process to go smooth without any hiccup?
Okay. For us to go without any hiccup, we need to build the capacity of our health workers who will be administering the vaccines. We also have to ensure that the cold chain facilities are up to date, so that we don't have vaccines exposed to heat, exposed to extreme cold that will damage the vaccines. And also, we have to ensure that the logistics is in place so that vaccines are delivered timely from the national vaccine stores to the respective states and counties and to the health facilities, because the vaccination service is going to be at facility-based, not as campaign we were doing with the polio campaign and measles. It is going to be facility-based, so we have
you have to go to a health center to get the vaccine.
The beneficiaries have to go to the health center so that they get vaccinated. But we have to ensure that the vaccinators are trained and they are well-versed with the techniques on how to do the vaccination and follow the standard operation procedures on how to manage the vaccines to ensure that it doesn't harm the beneficiaries, neither harm them until the used parts are disposed safely.
Okay. Dr. Amos, before we hear from Dr. Richard, there has been concern, that is an international concern, that this AstraZeneca sometimes it can cause blood clotting. And we are going to be using this vaccine here in South Sudan. What will you tell people who have been listening to international media houses and they have this at the back of their mind?
Thank you so much for the question. What I will tell the public is that there was a committee that sat to review scientific data about the vaccines. It is true that some people got blood clots and then they died from it. But according to this group that sat in Geneva and then in Europe, they said the people who got problems after getting the vaccine, in the first place, there were fewer compared to over 20 million people who got the vaccine.
Yeah.
And then they...
So, meaning the advantage outweighed the disadvantage.
Yeah, after doing that scientific review, the benefit compared to the risk of AstraZeneca is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
So they advise people to take the jab with no fears.
So now let's go back to Dr. Richard. First of all, more clarification. Why did the government or the Minister of Health, why didn't you do the training first for these people who are going to carry on the vaccination before the arrival of the COVID-19 vaccine?
All right, thank you very much. A couple of things. Number one is, of course, to do training, you need to have resources in hand.
But you have partners UNICEF and WHO.
I'm coming to that. When when you see the process for us to apply for these vaccines, the process started in October last year. And by December, we'll make sure that we put our application. And we are asked to have a deployment plan, that which we worked in February. We submitted by 15, and I think it is approved around 19 or something on that time, February.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the timelines that we have. And along this time, also, we with the partners need to work and mobilize resources for us. Yes, the partners are there, but you've seen COVID has consumed the resources not only at the national level but even globally. The donors becoming fatigued. So it is like the government has to take lead and make sure that get resources from anywhere, which actually we worked, and the government actually start mobilizing the resources. That's one component. The second component, we are not very clear about the timing of bringing the vaccines in country due to some global issues in terms of production of those vaccines. You know, now even we are talking, the amount of vaccines that we want, they will not give us this amount that they promised to give us all.
Why?
They are giving, because of the production of these vaccines are
happening. High demand?
High demand. And they are not meeting. Even those big countries, America, India, they have not even up to now vaccinated. They are producing the vaccine. They are not vaccinated even one third of their population. Mm-hmm. So, and imagine to give it to other people outside.
People ask, why did the government of South Sudan opt to go for AstraZeneca? Why? Instead of Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson?
So many reasons. AstraZeneca, of course, is proven also like other vaccines. But looking at our context, Petit has said it early. You know, the cold change we have, the type of cold change we have, is actually where we are storing measles vaccine and all this, is taking that temperature from 2 to 8. And AstraZeneca fits to that. If you want to go for Pfizer or Moderna, you need to go for the high temperature. I mean, they have temperature of minus 70, minus 80.
But Rwanda is using that.
Yeah, Rwanda infrastructure is not like us. Rwanda has more infrastructure, robust, and they have proper communication. They use drone. So in terms of infrastructure, they are not like us.
Yeah.
So the type of cold change, if you want to build that, will take us more time. By the time we want to start vaccination, maybe the whole world has gone out. So that's some of the reason. But again, it's not too late, because the training is only 2 days.
Yeah.
As we said, the training is just right orientation. It's health workers, they know how to give the jab. But now there is few things that they need to know about these vaccines. First of all, before you inject, you need to see how it looks like and so forth. And then when you are giving, what is it that you, if there is anything. So there is few techniques that need to be given to them to orient them so that they prepare them to do the right things at the right time. Mm-hmm. I just wanted, before I leave you, I want to say something about the question you asked earlier regarding the issues of the side effects and the fears of the people, because it's very important. First of all, I wanted to tell the public that, let them know that vaccines is like medicine, any medicine that we take. So medicine, when you take, there is a side effect.
Yeah.
There is a side effect. Even Panadol that you are taking has a side effect. But the side effect that you have out of that drug compared to the benefits relieving pain is maybe higher. So you take it because you know that will give you feel good when you take that kind of thing. But there is a side effect which is minimum. We have drugs like drugs of cancer. When you see people who are taking drugs, they lose their hairs and what. But they still continue taking it because the benefit of taking that is even better than losing the hair.
Okay.
But tomorrow we'll get. So this is, the vaccines is more or less the same. Now, coming to these vaccines and the implication, I mean, the allegations that the people are now putting, because up to now, there is no evidence.
Yeah.
He has said it. But what happened, the 20 million people who have been immunized in UK, they got less than 40 people who claim to have developed this, or maybe they developed this. And they took 18 of them, actually been examined thoroughly, those who died, and examined. And when they examined, they found actually, yes, these people had clots, but there is no causal effect. There is no relation that is that vaccines that caused that disease. Because the clotting, even now, we have not starting, yes, as a country, we have not started vaccination.
Yeah.
But if you go to Juba Teaching Hospital, or all these hospitals, you'll find people who's clogged. Deep vein throat, those have a stroke. These are all clots that are happening.
Yeah.
So it's happening, but the causes could differ from one place to another. Vaccines could be one of the things that can cause that.
So
but
now,
not necessarily
for our case here, how will you ensure that there is follow-up to ensure, maybe to see whether people are developing some kind of side effect? Do you have the manpower to follow up?
Yes. The team, actually, we have committees.
Yeah.
Committees, even not only with this, even with the previous vaccine that now we already have.
But
we have a committee that looked at advice.
Not to go into politics, we know committees in South Sudan doesn't work.
No, for immunization
yeah.
as a program. Okay. As a program to follow, not those committees of, you know, but these are technical committees are there. When you are talking about the vaccines, these committees are like we have before we administer Ebola as a new vaccines. we have formed committees, follow all the people who got the vaccines until they finish their time, and they get reported, and they follow those who will have advanced. The same thing, these committees, we have activated them. We have at the state level, we have at the county level, and we have a bigger group, and also setting up a call center. Maybe
Dr. Samuel, in addition to your point,
I wanted to add to my colleague, Dr. Richard. In the country, we have what we called country adverse effect following immunization committee. If there is any adverse effect that happens after vaccination, then we have a committee that will do investigation, thorough investigation, to exclude that or to find out whether the adverse effects has any relationship with the vaccine given or not. This committee has been established since the measles campaigns were being conducted in the country, and they have done a lot of trainings on this. And recently, we have two more trainings done by WHO to the members of the committee, and they are prepared. And I'm also one of the members in the committee to ensure that we follow up each and every center providing vaccination. Follow up if there is any adverse effect following immunization. We have to follow it up and investigate thoroughly and report so that we exclude anything and that we don't become unaware.
Okay, Dr. Amos, how many doses of COVID-19 vaccine do I need to take? Say, for example, the one coming tomorrow, the 132,000 doses. How many doses will each health worker require to get a full package?
Thank you. You get two doses of 0.5 mils between 4 and 8 weeks apart. So if you get the first jab today, it's after 8 weeks that you get a second jab, and then you're done.
The same type?
Yes, the same type.
Yeah. Okay. So now, the question is, if somebody is having an underlying condition, can she or he get the vaccine? Like, say, for example, pregnant women, people with some kind of underlying factors.
When they were doing the study, they did not recruit pregnant mothers for the vaccine. But we're saying that if this pregnant mother is a healthcare worker, and for her to get the vaccine, it benefits her compared to carrying on with the pregnancy, perhaps if the worst comes to the worst, and then she has to get the vaccine. But for now, data is not there for pregnant women to get the vaccine.
So let me ask this question. How long does protection from a COVID-19 vaccine last?
This one is still so under study.
But the studies, there is a few now they are telling us that if you have a jab of these vaccines, can give you immunity at least for 90 days, which is 3 months.
So you can still contract the virus after 90 days.
Yes, but we are still looking at the long term of it. As you said, a lot of studies people had to compile. That's why these vaccines is now being used under emergency use licensing, because we still need to document more information in long term, how will it be handled and so forth.
So that means after the vaccination, I still need to follow the preventive measures.
Yes,
put on face mask,
absolutely.
Wash my hand, and all this.
That crucial. Having vaccinated does not mean that you are done, because now you have seen, first of all, the concept of vaccination, if you really need to reach, you need to go as far as 80% of population. Now we are talking of 20%, and we are with the plan of, we submitted, we're talking up to 40%. So, and this necessitated that still we need to make sure that we maintain wearing masks, social distancing, washing our hands, and also these crowd gatherings, when you are going there, you have to be also careful with. So these measures are also in place together with vaccine. We always recommend, and WHO recommend, that people has to adhere to that as well.
Dr. Richard, before our lines are open for our listeners to call, first of all, what plan do you have in place to transport these vaccines to the states? And once they arrive here, which is the first state to get the vaccine? or you will begin first in Juba?
For this 109, we are starting in Juba. We are starting in Juba, but for the health workers who want to see that, we go across. We go beyond Juba to make sure that we reach all the health workers, these 27,000 that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But in terms of logistics, we already have a plan as a part of the micro plans with the partners, UNICEF, WHO, UNDP, WAP is also there. So they are ready to help us in shifting some of these vaccines from here to one location to another. As required based on the plan, and we're starting training now here in Juba for people who will start vaccination, but also with the TOT of people from the states that also will be here, so that by the time they are leaving here, they're already prepared, and they can also, when the vaccination going to start, they already have the people on the ground.
So if I can remember my primary school mathematics very well, yes. Like what, and borrowing from Dr. Amos, the word that I have to take 2 jabs to get safe, you are targeting about 61,000 from the 132,000 that's coming tomorrow, right?
Yes. No, but what we are going to do, the second dose, this is, you have to call this, because the second dose, you're supposed to have it
after
between 8 weeks to 12 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and looking at the constraints now, we advise that actually if you can cover as much, because that single dose that you have can give you immunity, if you can say up to 76%. So that's enough. So if you cover as much possible people with these first dose, while you're arranging for the second dose will come, will be better than admission to very small number of people, which you will, and then you are keeping the vaccines for another 6 weeks. The life shift of this vaccine is also short.
Yeah.
And this is something that we have to be mindful. So the vaccine that is coming, we make sure that we go as much as possible, but we follow the timing for the second dose for these people. As the other vaccines is coming, we'll make sure that they also get it, so that we move along.
Yeah, there are concerns already coming from the citizen. 2 very important concerns. Though the first one is not yet, we don't have an evidence to prove it, but since you have been at the center of this COVID-19 in the country, you will prove for us this evening. First of all, people are saying, why can't you begin with the politicians, the head of state, so that they build confidence in the people to believe, to trust that, yes, this COVID-19 vaccine is safe, like what we are seeing in other countries, like Rwanda have done it, even in the U.S., Joe Biden did that. Why can't you do the example here to build confidence in the population?
Absolutely right. This is what we're going to do. The start of vaccines, what I'm saying, this is training, but to start giving jab, of course, there will be launching of the vaccination. It will be done in a very open and ceremonial, and we'll be showing, and of course we'll bring leadership in this, including the leadership in the ministry. Uganda is actually went with the Minister of Health ahead, but we also follow, so that one definitely there. So we'll live by example.
Okay.
We'll not
the second example, which I want your more clarification and keen explanation, is that during the donation that was made by so many countries, China, African Union, of these COVID-19 testing kits, the face mask, there were so many allegations that most of these things ended up in people's pharmacies. Most of these were taken by powerful people in their houses and all this. So what guarantee do you have in place to ensure that at least this COVID-19 vaccine coming tomorrow, they don't end up being misused and taken by some people for their family use?
Well, as I've said, the process we did that is with partners, and we have established a system of deployment of these vaccines. This is not like a mask, it's not like a Panadol that you take it and put it in your home. It requires certain kind of temperature that you need to keep, and it has to be kept under that temperature throughout. So
what
you
about
can't take it at home.
A scenario where a powerful politician brings all the family members and vaccinate them?
No, that will not work, because we had like the health workers, you cannot, unless you're a health worker. And the health workers, we have the records of the health workers. When you go to Juba Teaching Hospital, they're already there, we know. If you are coming for this elderly group in Juba here, like in city council here, the city council, the quarter councils already had a list of the people of those elderly group that we have. We have that list in Munuki, in Inai. When we are going there, we know this is the name. So they will not work with anything apart from the list that we have, and we'll ensure that this goes to intended beneficiaries.
Okay. Anybody want to add something from the group here, maybe from WHO or UNICEF, from your example? Because I know UNICEF have been so much engaged in this issue of vaccination campaign, measles, polio, all this.
Yeah, Sunny Martin.
To ensure there is a real transparency and accountability at the end of the day.
Yes, what is going to happen is that there's going to be detailed recording of the vaccines that arrive the country, even if it is reported that 132,000 doses will be arriving. But when it arrives, we will do proper accountability of that. And when we are distributing them from the national vaccine stores to the various cold chain facilities in Juba County, we will also be doing accountability of receiving and retrieving the used vials. So if there is any missing, it means something must have gone wrong at that facility, and we have to ensure that the missing vials are accounted for to ensure that the vaccines have actually gone to the beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. UNICEF will also, with its partners, will go into serious awareness campaign before the actual vaccination starts. UNICEF will be using media channels like Miraya FM, iRadio, and South Sudan Television, and also public addressing system in Juba town, so that people are given a lot of awareness on the importance of the vaccines and where they should get it and who are eligible to get it. So there will be a lot of work on that, and accountability will be in place for every vaccine or dose delivered to reach the beneficiaries.
Okay. Yes, our lines are now open. You can call us on 0912062079 and ask a question to my guest here in the studio, Dr. Richard Laku, COVID-19 Incident Manager, Ministry of Health, and Dr. Amos from WHO, and Dr. Samuel Patti from UNICEF. And we are talking about the arrival of 132,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccine that's arriving tomorrow here in Juba. And there will be a mini ceremony at Juba International Airport to receive, and there will be some speeches that will be given tomorrow. And we are looking at focusing on the availability of the vaccine, the targeted group, as well as the safety of the vaccine. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Sane Martin.
Your name?
Bawia Yolin. Hi, Amara.
Okay, please go ahead with the question.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I thank all the head of the department from UNICEF, from the WHO, and also the other health departments. Mm. For the effort to make sure that the vaccine and all the medicine concerned about the COVID-19 arrive in the country.
Okay.
Very soon. So I was actually having two questions. The first question, you asked it already, the guests, about the, you know, in our country, everybody is general and everybody is a president and everybody is a commander. When there is an opportunity like this, the whole family will come there just simply because the guy is a general and is more powerful. Mm. So you asked that question already, it has gone. The second question will be, if the vaccine arrives, will you guys help? Is there a centers where it can be kept in a different part of our state, as we have a 10 state plus 3 or 2 administrative areas? Or the vaccine must be centered here in Juba, and then the vaccination is started here in Juba and then Kalas.
Okay.
So is there any move that it can be divided into different centers across the 10 states? Do you have a center there so that the people, the patient and the people, the health worker who are working in a different state, in 10 states, can okay. quickly be vaccinated?
All right. Thank you so much. I'm Mawia from Juba here. Hello, Redimira.
Hello.
Yes, your name?
Joseph from Elokulele.
Okay. Joseph, go ahead. From.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to emphasize one question that you have asked concerning the committee that will be held responsible. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be the technical committee? Because it happened, you remember, during the COVID-19 inauguration,
yeah.
The vice president was the chairperson of that committee,
yeah,
which was politically motivated.
Yeah.
We want to stress on that. The second issue is, it was said that the examination of COVID-19, that anybody has the right to be examined. But some people went there and we came and learned that it was to be paid, that some people had to pay $70 if they want to travel outside.
Okay.
Don't you think that the same element will come
for payment
when somebody wants to go and get vaccinated? I think we need this to be very clear.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joseph from Juba here. We can pick one more and give chance. Hello, Redi Mira. Hello.
Hello, Marham.
Yes.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, Redi Mira.
I Mark Morton, this is Franco Smith.
Okay, Min Jebel.
Min Jebel, aye.
Okay, Marhabe Franco.
I say, Leka, what they with a brief with the studio. I know of Supin, but cover with I don't know about seed the whistle people.
Bukra.
And most of Bukra, inshallah.
Aye.
And as well, with I know brief with the studio, come on, and vaccination, I can whistle. And that's a distracted for you. And Massa, the Nazal and Makin, Wanassa, and Amianin, Wanassa, Bukarangat, Wanassa, and الاحتياج الخاص يعني مثلا ما عندهم دخل كويس وعجائز الكبار هم اللي بيستهدفوهم الاول ولا بيستهدف الناس كل البكسير اللي كل الناس
اوكي
ده واحد
اوكي
الاثنين هيعملوا في وزاره الصحه لان وزيرين بقى في الضمانات يعني سم تايم كده تلقى حاجه اللي كان وصل بعد شويه هيكون قلب يخش ويدخلوا القطاع الخاص الكلام ده واحد بيحصل شيء
شكرا
يكون في وزاره الصحه بس
شكرا كارلس فرانكو من جبل فاست اوف اول ويل ذيس فاكسين be free of charge or people have to pay money? DG?
Yeah, of course it is free. The wanadari wonu sumara bi hakum majani.
Mafi gurush.
Vaccine mafi gurush. Umafi la al vaccination da biyasal fi marakis ta sah yanasa. Inda na fi Juba da inda na fi marakis bi kum fi mushesh fi Juba. Inda na fi markas fi police. Inda na markas fi jesh. Aye. الغوات النظامية وشنو اللي بيمشي هناك
في قيادة
المواطنين اللي بيكون أنا لكن بعدين بناشنو أشغالين في قطاع الخاص so ده واحد so هو مجاني الكلام اللي هو قاله بتاع ترافلرز ده دي حاجة تاني هنا المعمل المركزي لحد هسه بيعمل فحوصات مجاني السبب خلينا هنا لأنه الشغل مع كوفيد ده ترافلرز ما هو مسؤولية الناس دارين يسافروا ما هو ماشيين لنا ده ما هو مسؤولية بتاعنا هنا مسؤولية بتاعنا الناس اللي بيكون عيانين ناس اللي بيكونوا مخالطين مع العيانين ديل ناس اللي بيكونوا مشابهين فيه كعيانين ديل إن لازم نعمل لهم فاز إن الأكاتين نو معنا فده ده لنا لكن يعني أنا بقدر أكيد البتاع ده هيكون مجان yeah,
كلام بتاع جوزيف موضوع بتاع politics يوم داك في كان task force was headed by the first vice president so this time are you removing politics away from this technical
this is technical يعني أنا قلت البروسيس ده بدأ من سنة الفات التاس فورس الغادين يقولوا بتاع كوفيد الكامبي ينالا دا جزء من الستركتر لانه عشان لانه كوفيد دا بيقى بكام يعني وباء عالمي وباء عالمي دا بيحتاج مرات تدخل في قرارات سيادية قرارات سيادية دا لازم يكون في الرئيس ولا جسم يكون الرئيس
ناس ياسين
هاي دال هناك لكن من ناحية بتاع تكنيكال إحنا ذاته يعني أنا كإنسيدنت مانجر أنا أم ديوان شارين كوليشن بتاع أول ديبارتمنتس لكن هسه في الفاكسينز ده عملوا في لجنة مختصة هو عشان كده بتشوف يونس فينا دبلي تشوف فينا وعندنا ناس دبلي بي والهنا أي زول عنده شغل معتاد والتطعيم ده هيحصل في مراكز بتاع حكومة
أوكي دكتور سامويل the issue of the chain of distribution is one of the most important things
Yes, as I said before, at the national level, we have a national vaccine store where we have cold rooms and we have fridges. When these vaccines arrive, they will be straight away taken to the national vaccine stores. And at the state levels, we have state cold chain stores where there are fridges with adequate space to keep those vaccines.
Okay.
At the same time, at the county levels, we have fridges. To the capacity of each county, and then at the facility level, we also have fridges. So these free vaccines will be transported at the same temperature we received from the airport tomorrow to the national vaccine stores, to the state, to the county, and to the facility until it reaches to the beneficiaries in vaccine carriers. The temperature must be the same.
Okay.
And we have devices for monitoring the temperatures.
Okay.
That If the temperature is not between plus 2 to plus 8 degrees Celsius, the system will immediately alert us, and then we have take precautions so that we don't use damaged vaccines.
Okay, Dr. Amos, from your view, who sits with WHO, and you are actually the people who advises the Ministry of Health and other partners, are we expecting maybe some kind of other vaccine to arrive or to be brought to the country? Maybe it will come in later on as we conclude our discussion here. Apart from AstraZeneca, are there more plans underway which you have received by the government to through you, WHO?
At the moment, we are receiving a vaccine through the COVAX facility. And the country will receive any vaccine that has been approved in future. And this has to come from the health ministry.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Dr. Richard Laku, and the Karas Karambitak by Arabi. Awalaja, this vaccine coming tomorrow, this 132,000.
Yeah.
The 132,000. When are we expecting more? Tani, Fitani by
Gente. Yeah, in Ataban, they do follow all the donor. Them in COVAX facility. You have visited me at Ninutelatin Avla. And as that of you, as African Union. African Union is Baralena with Tiso Homsin Aljura additional. The man are Baralena through Africa CDC. The hygiene of Yamanda, Hakun Dafa Lena. Al Jedwal, Bitajaya, Al Awal, Miet Nino Teletinda, the Manisil, Badinu, Hauruna Jusutan,
How long do you think these 27,000 health workers will still come Zaman Bukalas Mom?
Then we are working within area. We are based on the plan that if within 2 weeks we will be able to reach these people all with the
So
first
when will a common South Sudanese get the job?
The common Sudanese the health workers are common South Sudanese.
Yeah, but
the elderly also within that group, these are South Sudanese. They will get within the same period. You know, these doses, the health workers, who feed you, who
alajize them. Okay. Risala Bidakson, Nas Lisa Bugika for Girl, for me, I can't take our better proceed and observing the SOP.
Ana Dara Gulom, in our Haja, yani mostly the vaccine, the womb him. Yani when I am about asa, yani had to do a joam and nasal behalf of the Kalumana and asa, dual jabina the Badashil vaccine. Al vaccine de ze ayedawa al negishilu dawa fugo asar. Like in vaccine de la had the asa de, yani mafia hajo regal al kalam al dual alasa wogi falgalmon can wogi de Italia, Spain, we know Moraja of Hassa, Mon or Gabliomen Moraja Bado Yamatim
Tani.
Falalam Kulu Bado Mshu, Fana better kill and asino. De forsa ehna almas walina de barama bikafina lakini za shilna vaccine da bigdar bisaidna bigallil min nisba ta isaba bigallil min nisba ta wafiyat fa shan kida wa haja muhim wa da wahid min intervention public health intervention hinda darinu nakhdu sawa ma hajata tani da shan nagda nahmi shab ta
jimsa. Okay, Dr. Samuel, in just 30 seconds, when is the campaign beginning? More awareness through UNICEF in 30 seconds.
As I said before, it is not going to be in a campaign form, but it is going to be delivered through the health facilities.
When?
Tomorrow we are starting the training. We will finish the training on Friday. And by end of next week, we will be in position to start vaccination.
Right.
Because after the training, we need to do a lot of awareness.
Thank you.
Through all media systems so that people are aware before we start the campaign.
Yeah, thank you so much. I am afraid we have to head direct to the newsroom. And thank you so much for coming, Dr. Richard Laku, Dr. Amos, and Dr. Samuel from UNICEF. And that's it we have for you. And we shall continue to talk more about the vaccine, and more news will be coming to you on vaccine arrival tomorrow here on Ready Mirai.